Amen. So in Romans chapter 14, I'm going to focus in on verse 7 there. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." And that verse kind of, you got to kind of think about what it's trying to say there in the context. And I hope that I have it right, where he's basically kind of saying, hey, you know, everything that we're doing for the Lord, basically. You know, everything that we do, whether we're eating or not drinking, whether we're eating or not eating, whether we're regarding the day or not regarding the day, everything that we're doing is for Christ. It reminds me of what Paul said. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And he's saying, none of us live to himself and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we love unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And of course, he ends by saying, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Right? But if you notice also in the context, he's kind of getting that across that, hey, everything that we're doing is for the Lord's sake, but he's also kind of using it to kind of temper our interpersonal, you know, relationships in a way, because he's bringing up verse 4, "Why, who art thou that judgest, you know, another man's servant?" And he says again, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" And he's saying, you know, we should be conducting ourselves in a way because of the fact that everything that we're doing is for Christ, everything, our whole life is wrapped up in Christ. But specifically, you know, at least what I'm going to take the broader principle out of this passage is that, you know, we need to make sure that we're conducting ourselves with one another and the people around us, you know, in a good way. You know, that we shouldn't just be, you know, living in our own world. That's the title of the sermon tonight. We shouldn't just be people who just kind of live in our own world and not really think that, you know, what we do matters, or what we do or the way we behave or conduct ourselves doesn't have consequences, because it does. You know, the things that we say and the things that we do and the way we carry ourselves, you know, they have an impact on those around us and people in the world. And this is important because of the fact that today, you know, we're living in a day when so many people are becoming so socially inept. They don't even understand, like, sometimes just the most basic things of, you know, of having manners and common courtesy and things like that. And that's really all I'm going to talk about tonight, is just being courteous, being kind, and being compassionate. But these are things that are kind of getting forgotten of about in the world. You know, I'm not going to bore you to death with any articles, but I read a few articles when I was writing the sermon about, you know, how today so many, even just millennials, which are people, I'm kind of on that cusp, you know, 1980. So I can say, well, I'm technically a Gen Xer. You know, I'm not one of these millennials, right? But it's like December, you know, I was like, oh, just a matter of weeks away from being a Gen Xer. So, you know, I'm probably one of you, but you know, even the Gen Xers, for people who are already in their 40s, you know, they've done surveys where they're saying, hey, it's really hard for us to, you know, have just normal face-to-face interactions with people. And I can't imagine that's getting any better, you know, in the day and age that we're living in now, where we have generations that are coming up that are doing everything online. They're having all of their relationships online. I mean, you know, I'm at least from that generation where, you know, you had to, like, go to your friend's house and knock on the door. You know, if you wanted to talk to him, like, there was no internet, you know. There was a phone, you had to pick up the phone to see who it was. You know, you had to actually say hello to find out who it was that was calling you. You know, there was no backing out. Remember, I mean, caller ID came along. Everyone was like, dude, check it out. You can ignore people now, right? But, you know, that's the world we're living in, where people are just becoming more and more isolated, more and more secluded, you know, through technology. And it's not that I'm against technology or anything like that, but it's this double-edged sword that we have to just, you know, not be ignorant of the fact that there are, you know, there's a negative side to all this technology. It's obviously a great, powerful tool, but isn't it ironic in a time where, you know, avenues of communication have never been broader, have never been more open, that people are finding themselves more isolated and having more difficulty in how they interact with another person in the flesh? It's kind of ironic when you think about it. So I'm kind of using verse 7, you know, and hopefully I'm not tearing it completely out of context this evening, but he's saying there that, you know, none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. And it reminds me of that phrase, I don't know who said it or where it's from, but basically that no man is an island unto himself. You know, we can't just think that our lives don't have an impact on other people, that the things that we do, the things that we say don't impact those around us. You know, they do. So I'm just going to have a couple, just quick 3 points tonight about being courteous, about being kind, about being compassionate, you know, and just this understanding that the way we conduct ourselves does not exist in a vacuum, okay? No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. If you want to keep something in Romans, we'll come back later, but go over to 1 Peter 3. We're going to be in 1 Peter 3 a couple times tonight as well, so if you want to keep a bookmark there. But my first point tonight when it comes to this idea of not living in your own world, you know, not being somebody who just has kind of isolated themselves or just, you know, doesn't think that the way that they conduct themselves around other people matters. My first point is this, is that we need to learn to be courteous people. And look, this is something that's going way out of style. I mean, just common courtesy. You know, it's shocking to me when you come across it. It's shocking to me when you see a young person be courteous. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, I was at a store. I think we had ordered pizza, and I was waiting for the pizza to be given to me over the counter, and I finally got it. And there was this young guy, this kid, probably in his teen years, and I turned around with the pizza, he stood up and went over and opened the door and held it open for me and called me sir. And at first, I just felt really old. But then I was like, wow. And it also reminded me to not just, you know, judge people quickly by, you know, the exterior. Because he was, you know, he looked kind of rough. You know, he's kind of sagging the pants and he had the piercings and the hairdo that they're all doing. And it was just kind of shocking, you know. But there's a reason why that was shocking. You know, it's because that's not something you find a lot. You know, that's something that's kind of gone by the wayside. And really, courtesy, just common courtesy, just being polite, being respectful, and being considerate, you know, this is really just kind of like baseline. Like, we need to get this down first before we move on to the other points. And the Bible commands us to be courteous. If you look there in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 8, he says, "Finally, be of all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You know, we should be pitiful, not meaning that we should be, you know, pitiful creatures or something like that, but we should have pity on other people. You know, we shouldn't be quick to just cut people down or you know, throw things in their face, but, you know, we should be pitiful. You know, we try to be understanding of where people are coming from, understanding that people have struggles, people have difficulties, people are going through things. You know, we should show pity to them. That's part of loving as brethren. You know, if we're going to be a church that has unity, a church that when people come here, they can feel the love, right? They can come in here and say, this is a loving place. I feel that, you know, this is a place I'd be accepted and I could grow and that the people care about me. You know, if we're going to love as brethren, we're going to have pity one of another. We're going to have to be courteous. You know, we're going to have to be polite and respectful and considerate of one another. And we're pretty good about this around here. I think that this is something we've got down. People are very polite. People can be very respectful and obviously considerate. I'm going to break those three points down real quick within, you know, these greater points of being courteous, kind, and compassionate. So don't get all the points confused tonight. I'll try to help you. But basically, when it comes to being courteous, you know, that's kind of the definition, to be polite, respectful, considerate. Let's look at each one of those real quick. If you would, go over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. The first thing, if you want to consider yourself a courteous person, is that you have to be a polite person. You know, if you're not, because people care about how they're treated, whether they act like it or not, whether or not people will let on that it bothers them or not, people care about how they're treated. They care about whether or not you treat them coldly, whether or not you treat them warmly. It affects people. Again, no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. We are not an island unto ourselves. You know, we affect those around us, okay? We don't want to throw a stumbling block in the way of our brother. But basically, when it comes to this idea of being courteous, we want to make sure that we're polite. Okay, it says there in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 21, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." And that salute, you know, it's not talking about, you know, standing at attention and saluting, right? But it's like a salutation, like a greeting, like a saying hello, you know, acknowledging people when they come, acknowledging people when they enter the room, when they first arrive, and acknowledging the presence of other people. And this is something that, you know, if we're not careful, we can get away from. You know, you could find yourself getting wrapped up in your own thoughts, and I understand it happens, but if we're not careful, you know, we might end up just ignoring somebody, maybe even unintentionally. But people can take that the wrong way, can't they? So we got to be careful about that. And notice it's salute every saint in Christ Jesus. You know, everybody, because, you know, there's another passage we could go to in Hebrews 13. I won't take us there, but it says salute all them that have the rule over you. Like, we would never imagine just ignoring, you know, those that are in authority. I'd never imagine, you know, giving a cold shoulder to somebody you know, who warrants a certain level of respect just because of the position that they're in, right? Just as a leader, right? But, you know, the Bible says salute every saint in Christ Jesus. You know, whoever it is that walks through that door, they deserve to be greeted and saluted and said hello to. They need to be asked their name. You know, they, and obviously we don't get carried away. You know, we want to be courteous and kind, but we also don't want to, you know, badger people. You know, and I think we're really good about this. And I'm perfectly honest, not every church is as good as this as we are, I don't think. Some people can really get, you know, a visitor shows up and it's just like, we're all over them. You know, we're going to find out everything that they believe about every single doctrine before they even sit down and get the church service started. Save that for afterwards. You know, we'll get to that. You know, we'll get to people. We'll help them in these areas. And over time, you know, the most important thing people need to feel when they walk through these doors is welcome. You know, and I'm preaching this because, you know, I do have some plans. There's some things I want to do in over the summer months and even leading up to Easter. You know, I want to really start working on bringing people into church and really working on trying to get visitors to come to church. And I want to kind of make sure we're maintaining this idea or this standard that we have of treating our visitors well. Because here's the thing, you know, the people that come and visit, those are the people that we really need to make sure we're treating well and following up on. You know, a lot of times we will have all these other ideas about what we can do, you know, to people that we get one to the Lord. And I'm all for follow-up. I'm all for all those type of things and discipleship and things like that. But when somebody's actually taking the time to walk through the door, I mean, that's like, you know, that's who we need to make sure we're on our game. We need to make sure that we're, you know, finding out who they are and getting some information. And I've got other plans, but, you know, for that. But broadly speaking, to apply to everybody in the church, let's just make sure we're polite. You know, even not just to the visitors, but also to one another. Because that's another thing that can kind of go by the wayside, isn't it? We can say, well, I've seen you. You'll be there every Sunday. And we can start to take people for granted. And we can start to take for granted that the people that come here. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're polite, that we're respectful, and that we're considerate, that we're saluting every saint, and that we're being not just polite, but also respectful. Okay, and this is maybe a little bit harder to do, isn't it? It can be a little bit more difficult to be respectful sometimes. And if you would, go over to back to Romans chapter number 12. Because, I mean, being polite, you know, I understand there's some people that might struggle with that, but that's really, you know, things that you're just kind of taught growing up. You know, say hello, shake the hand, look them in the eye, speak up. That's pretty basic. You know, that's a very simple, just, you know, things that kids get taught, okay? And hopefully we have that as adults. You know, having respect, or what I believe the Bible would refer to as having honor for somebody, you know, that might be a little bit more difficult to maintain. That might come out if it's, you know, if we're, you know, we can't be disingenuous with that. I mean, being polite, that's just kind of formality, isn't it? Being polite to somebody and just saying hello and shaking their hand and being nice, I mean, that's just kind of a formality that you would extend to a lot of people. But, you know, when it comes to this idea of being respectful, you actually have to respect that person. You actually have to feel that in your heart. That has to be something that, it can't be disingenuous. It has to be real. It has to be genuine. That's something we need to work on too. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Meaning, you know, don't let it be fake. Don't let it be simulated. Don't let it without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. You know, we should be respectful. We should be honoring one another. We should be, you know, not just respecting those like our father and our mother, as we're commanded in Ephesians chapter 6, but every saint, everyone. You know, everybody that comes here deserves to be respected. You know, deserves to be treated well and treated politely and be made to feel welcome. Lastly, on just this point of being courteous, you know, we're talking about what does it mean to be courteous, right? It means that you're going to have some, just be polite. You're just going to have those basic manners. You know, you're just going to be able to just say hello and shake hands and greet people. You know, also being part of being courteous is being respectful, right? But also it's being considerate. And this is one maybe that is more applicable to the sermon, maybe kind of fits in the theme of the sermon of not living in your own world, okay? Because being considerate, you know, that's more like, you know, your actions, the things that you're going to do, okay? It involves a more of a consideration of your actions rather than just your words. And it's easy to just kind of smile and say hello and do that and kind of get that formality out of the way. But then when it comes to being considerate, you know, we have to consider, you know, the way we conduct ourselves. What is that going to do to other people? Maybe it's not our words or the things we say, but maybe it's something that we're doing that is upsetting somebody. Maybe it's something that we're doing that is showing a lack of respect. Maybe it's something that we're doing that would be considered uncourteous. If you would, go over to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Of course, you know, one of the first passages that came to mind when I'm thinking about this idea of being considerate, you know, the idea of your actions rather than your words making an impression on somebody is obviously the golden rule, right? We've all probably heard the golden rule. Whatever you want people to do to you, do to them. You know, that's kind of the golden rule. Well, that's biblical. Jesus said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." You know, and that's a filter that we need to get screwed on. That's a filter we need to think, you know, have on our, attached to our minds and allow to go through our thought process before we say or do things sometimes. And I understand everyone's filter can get a little loose sometimes, but sometimes we just need to tighten that up a little bit and think about, if I were in their shoes, if I were this person, would I want to hear what I'm about to say? If I were this person, would I want to be treated the way I'm about to treat them? You know, that's a really good practice to stay in. But again, that's what it means to be considerate. You have to think about other people more than yourself. You know, it's not just the formality of being polite. It's not just the formality of being nice. But you actually have to think about how your actions, the things that you do, the decisions that you make are going to affect other people around you. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." You know, that's the law is basically, you know, what helps me and you get along. That's something I'll say out soul winning a lot of times, right? Because people say things like, "Hey, I'm going to go to heaven because I keep the commandments." You know, I don't want to cut people down and be like, "That's not good enough." You know, obviously we all know it's not. But sometimes I'll say, "Hey, you know, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? To love your neighbor as yourself. You know, to treat others as you want to be treated." The law is there to help me and you get along. You know, it's to keep help us maintain a civil society. It's not there to get us to heaven. Now, if we could keep the whole law, obviously, yeah, we could go to heaven. But we all know we fall short. But that's what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 7. He's saying, look, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is the law. I mean, the law really is the golden rule. If you want to just sum up the law, you know, it's love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second great commandment, right? That's the second one's like unto the first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. So it's a pretty big deal to think that the way we treat other people is the summation of the law. Everything that's been written there, all those commandments, you know, it's to get us to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is a big part of being courteous and not living in your own world is to be considerate of other people, not just the things that you say and do, how the things you say and do affect other people, the decisions that you make, okay? If you're there in Titus chapter 3, look at verse 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Now, you know, that's why I'm preaching this, because it says right there, put them in mind, remind them, right, to do these things. Verse 2, "to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." You know, we should be meek towards other people. We should be gentle towards other people. Why? Because that's how we like to be treated. We like to be treated nicely. You know, whether we admit it or not, whether we want to put out some kind of tough, gruff exterior, and, you know, we don't care about what people think of us. Yes, we do. It's a fact. Everyone wants to be treated well. You know, and if we want to be treated well, you know, then we need to learn to treat other people well. Okay? That's just part of common courtesy. You know, it's not just being polite, being respectful, but it's also being considerate. That's really the more difficult of the three. Let's move on to our next point of, you know, how to not just live in your own world. Again, because we have a world today where people, they're just living in their own world. We see it all the time. You know, I'm trying really hard not to go through a litany of examples of this, you know, in relation to traffic and driving, right? I mean, traffic, you know, maybe I should have been a sociologist. I don't know, but I just observe human behavior, right? And it's so funny the way people are when they drive, right? All the rules kind of go out the window, you know, the way, and you can see who's courteous and who's not. And it's not, I don't know what it is about when people get behind that wheel and turn that engine on, we're just like, for some people, all common courtesy just goes right out the window. All of a sudden, it's like, well, I'm going to be blown by you at 80 miles an hour, so I'll never see you again. Well, it's kind of a small town. And when you're driving a big yellow van that says Faithful Word Baptist Church on it, you know, you might want to just start waving people in. That's what I learned, you know. But I don't know where I'm going with all that. But, you know, just the idea of being courteous, being kind, being considerate. My next point is this, living in your own world. People get behind the wheel, they just start to live in their own world, right? They get the stoplight, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I got to check, you know, my notifications real quick. It's like, no, you need to focus on driving right now, right? Because you've got all this traffic around you. The next point about not living your own world beyond just being courteous is kindness. Being friendly, being generous, being, again, considerate. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I think I had you go there earlier, but anyway, we're going back there now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers." I mean, think about what he's saying there. Okay, he's saying, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, if we, you know, really stuck to that, I think a lot of us would probably speak a lot less. We'd be a lot more careful about what we say when you think about it. And not necessarily because what we're saying is corrupt, not just because maybe something we're saying things that we shouldn't, but if we were to ask ourselves, is what I'm saying going to edify somebody? Is it going to minister grace unto these people or not? I mean, if that were the hard rule, like, is this, you know, there we would probably speak less. You know, I listen to, a lot of Pastor Jimenez's sermons. And one thing I often hear him say is when it comes to this idea of, you know, of thinking before you speak, you know, ask yourself, is it kind? Is it necessary? I think there's a third point. I don't remember. But he often repeats this from the pulpit. And it's something I've tried to put in practice in my own life. You know, is what I'm about to say kind? Is it necessary? And obviously, you know, I'm not perfect in that. You know, just ask my wife. And we all fall short in these areas. Because, again, the Bible tells us in James, the tongue can no man tame. But that doesn't mean we just, well, since no man can tame the tongue, let's just throw the reins off and just let this thing run wild and just say whatever comes to mind. You know, rather than saying everything we think, we should probably spend more time thinking about what we're going to say. Instead of just letting everything that comes to mind come out of our mouth, we should make sure that what we're saying ministers grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I mean, man, Paul really knows how to just bring it home, huh? We say, oh, I don't know if I want to do all that. I don't know if I want to put off all the bitterness. I don't know if I want to be kind. Well, it's like, well, even as Christ has done so for you, even as for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, if Christ can condescend to us, if he can come down and be as kind and compassionate and gentle and pitiful towards us, I mean, certainly we can do that for another individual and be more considerate of the people around us. You know, a good rule of thumb, rule that's been expressed to me, and this is something that maybe we could all benefit from, is, you know, when we're considering how we're going to behave towards somebody, when we're going to take some kind of an action towards another individual. And this is something that, a lesson I've had to keep in mind as somebody, you know, who's pastoring a church and sometimes has to, you know, or is consulted and asked my opinion, or people sometimes come to me and want me to take certain actions or take sides on an issue or something like that. And this is something that you have to keep in mind, is that, you know, you have to be impartial. And I know I preached about this recently. You can't do anything without preferring one before another. We cannot be a respecter of persons, okay? So a good practice to make sure you're not being a respecter of persons, and maybe we could apply this to, you know, our conduct, you know, how we're treating somebody else is to ask yourself this question. You know, what if the person in question were somebody I liked? Okay? You know, sometimes people want you to do something, and it might be that you'd be easy to take that side because you don't really like this person. Right? But that would be being a respecter of persons, right? You know, that's more applicable to somebody who's making decisions. But think about in terms of your conduct, the way you conduct yourself towards somebody else. Sometimes when we don't like somebody, it's really easy for us to start treating them rudely, isn't it? We say, because we really don't care what they think of us. When we don't like somebody, that's when we can get short. That's when we can stop being courteous. That's when we can stop being kind. That's when we can stop being polite. We can stop being respectful. You know, we can stop honoring them just because we don't like them. But that's being a respecter of persons. You know, and if we're struggling in this area with somebody, you know, if there's someone that we know that we really don't, we have a hard time being courteous and polite to, just pretend that was a person that you like. You know, just pretend that's somebody that you actually, who you want to like you back, right? And we'll probably find ourselves being kinder towards that person. At least we ought to be. Let's move on to the last point here. So we're talking again tonight about, you know, not living in your own world, making sure that, you know, we're being courteous, that we're being kind. But lastly, I want to look at this idea of being compassionate, being compassionate. And this is really, you know, the ultimate, I think, you know, expression of this idea of loving your neighbor is actually having compassion on other people. Because again, if you notice, these are kind of levels, right? There's kind of levels to this. Being courteous, you know, that's pretty basic. You know, a lot of people can pull that off. We can go through the formality of being polite. We can go through the formality of being respectful. Might even get to the place where we're not so self-centered that we're actually considerate of how our actions affect other people. You know, that's kind of a lower level, lower tier, you know, skill. But then we might move on to, you know, making sure that we're also being kind, even to people that we don't like. Even to people that maybe rub us the wrong way, people that we might not want to spend a lot of time with in our personal lives, we still make sure that we're kind to those individuals, we treat them well, we help them. But lastly, compassion. And compassion really, I think, is kind of the top tier of this idea of being considerate, because of the fact that, you know, when you're being compassionate, you're going to be compassionate towards people that really don't have a lot going for them, so to speak. Compassionate on people who are really kind of just out on their own, that really are just looking for sympathy. Okay, because that's what compassion is. It's having pity for somebody in a sympathetic way. Not like empathy, where you can just kind of say, well, I can understand what you're going through, but sympathy says, I know what you've been through. I can relate to what you're going through, right? And this is something, you know, the idea of coming out of your own world. We have to understand that we can relate to everyone around us, every lost sinner, everyone that's, you know, living a backwards life. We should be able to be sympathetic to those people, because we're just, you know, we maybe not have done all those things, but, you know, that they're doing, but we can definitely relate to what it's like to be lost, to be the natural man, to be in the flesh, to not know God, to be ignorant, to have our hearts blinded, to be through the darkness that is in us, through the ignorance that is in us. You know, that's where compassion comes in. And compassion is something we don't want to lose sight of. And look, if you can't get these other ones down, you know, compassion's probably not going to come very naturally to you. If we can't work on just being polite and being courteous and being kind to one another, how in the world are we going to go out and be compassionate on a world that, you know, hates Christ in a lot of ways, rejects Christ? How are we going to get compassion towards those people? We need to be compassionate. We need to have pity and concern for the suffering of others. You know, and Jesus obviously is the greatest example of this. Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter number 7. You know, this idea of having compassion is not just, you know, feeling bad for people, but actually being able to relate to them, understanding where they're at, and actually being able to take action to help them out, okay? You know, a great example of this also is with Moses. Remember when Moses in Exodus was put into the ark of bulrushes and set in the river by his parents because he was a goodly child and they didn't want to just throw him in the river and obey the Pharaoh's commandment. So they were like, well, we're not going to drown our son because he's a goodly child. You know, they didn't want to follow that wicked commandment. So they put him in that ark, right? And then what happened? Pharaoh's daughters came along and saw it, heard the babe crying. And it says when she opened it, meaning the ark of bulrushes that is in, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. You know, when she saw this helpless child just left to perish, she had compassion on them. And really, this is what we need to have when we go out soul winning. You know, this is what should move us to reach the lost, is that, you know, the lost are kind of like that little baby Moses. They're just kind of left to perish. You know, if she hadn't come along and saved this baby, had compassion on him, who knows what would have happened. You know, we need to have compassion. We need to have sympathy for those that are suffering around us, especially spiritually. You know, a lot of people, obviously it's great that people have compassion to meet people's worldly needs, their physical needs, but the greatest need that any people have is the need to be saved. And we should have sympathy towards that and not get cold-hearted towards that. Look at Jesus. He was obviously the greatest picture of compassion. He said in verse 12, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So again, it's kind of like the situation with Moses when he was a baby. She's kind of left on her own. She doesn't have any other sons to take care of her, and she's a widow. And much of the people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to thee, rise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. I mean, that's one funeral I probably would have loved to have been at. You know, we don't have to look forward to the funerals, but if I knew that was going to happen, do you know the guy? No. But I can't miss this. That's pretty cool, right? But why did that happen? Because Jesus saw, you know, the suffering of this woman and had compassion on her. And look, we're living in a world today that's people are living so much in their own world today that they're not even compassionate towards the suffering of other people. They, you know, a lot of other people will look at it and go, oh, another funeral. You know, and going back again to my example of, you know, of traffic, right? Because this is a great place to observe human behavior is in traffic. You know, how do you respond when you see those, you know, the traffic starts to back up on the surface road or the freeway, and it slows way down, and it just starts to crawl, and you got somewhere to be, and then you see those lights flashing ahead, right? You see those blue and white and red lights flashing, and it's like, oh, great, there was an accident. I mean, a lot of us, we probably go, man, I got somewhere to be. Someone was just in an accident. You know, what if, you know, when it gets really bad, where they, like, shut down the whole lane, like, the traffic's completely routed, that's usually a fatality. But how many people are just in their car going, man, really? Come on. What? I got to go on a detour? That's going to add 15 minutes to my commute. You don't think people are like that out there today? Sure. And people, it's just, oh, just another accident, just another fatality, just more human suffering. And people lack compassion today. Why? Because people are living in their own world. You know, they might have being polite down. They might have, you know, being considerate down. They might even be kind when it's convenient. Having compassion, that's a whole other thing. You know, our heart should go out to people like that. When we see suffering, you know, we shouldn't just write that off. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, if you're still there, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, at love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So he started out focusing on the courteous aspect of it, right? That's, you know, if you're not going to live in your own world, you're going to be a courteous person. You're going to be considerate of other people. You're going to be kind. You're going to be polite. You're going to be respectful. You're going to consider how your actions and the things that you do affect other people, because they do. Whether you believe that or not, they do. No one, none of us live unto himself. None of us dies unto himself. No man is an island unto himself. No one is living in their own world. Okay, so obviously be courteous, but also more than that, be compassionate. Let's learn to have compassion on other people. Lastly, let's go over to Jude chapter number 1. Jude chapter number 1. It's the only chapter in Jude, but go to Jude. All right. You know, we need to have compassion on the lost. I mean, yeah, maybe I could pull at your heartstrings a little bit when I bring up, you know, the people that were in a car accident. We might even get a little convicted and be like, oh man, I've thought like that. Oh man, I've had that thought. Oh, I never thought about the fact that someone was actually suffering. You know, and that, obviously sometimes it's a realization we have to come to, okay? And that might pull at your heartstrings a little bit, but what about when we consider the fact that there's people every day that are dying and going to hell? There's people that are going to die today and tomorrow and the next day, and they're going to go straight to hell, and they're going to be there for all of eternity. And look, I understand that we can't get every single person saved. But, you know, how can we sit there and say we're a compassionate people, that we have compassion in our hearts, when we don't go soul winning, when we don't want to preach the gospel, when there's just no desire to go out and reach the lost to any degree whatsoever? We're just so wrapped up in our own lives, wrapped up so much in what we got going on. We're just, you know, it's like we're in that traffic jam. All we're thinking about is the clock and where we need to be. You know, there's no compassion for the people that are suffering. You know, if we're just living our lives and we're not thinking about those that are dying and going to hell, how can we then say that we're a compassionate people if we're not willing to go out and preach the gospel? You know, and here's the thing, you know, again, this idea of compassion is this idea of having sympathy, of being able to understand, you know, not just understand, but actually know what it's like to be going through something. You know, we can have compassion upon people in a sympathetic way when we've gone through other things, right? Well, here's the thing. We were all on our way to hell. Everyone here. Without Christ, you're going to hell. You know, if you hadn't believed and put your faith on Christ, you'd be going to hell. Think about that. If someone hadn't come and preached you the gospel, if someone hadn't posted that YouTube video or put that, you know, segment on the end of that documentary where the gospel was clearly explained to you, if someone had come knock on your door, someone had take you aside and show you the gospel, you wouldn't have gotten saved and you'd be going to hell. But here's the thing, you know, we understand that. We're glad we're saved, but the only reason we're saved is because somebody had compassion on us. Because somebody else realized, hey, I was on my way to hell once, and somebody got me saved. Let me go have compassion on somebody else. Let me go show some sympathy for the lost and go out and get other people saved. That's how you got saved. You know, so we need to, you know, continue with that. We need to be compassionate people. We need to have compassion upon the lost. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. You know, some people are going to respond to you just showing up and having that compassion. And of course, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Other people just need to be warned, you're on your way to hell. Obviously, we tell that to everybody, but some people are going to respond to that. Some people are going to respond to the compassion. Some people are going to respond to, you know, the love of God, just the idea that Christ died for them, all that, you know. But either way, whatever's going to get people saved, we have to go out and express that to them. We have to be the ones that go out there and have compassion on people and get out of our own world, right? What's the title of the sermon tonight? Living in your own world. And obviously that takes, you know, this idea of not living in your own world, coming out of your shell and being mindful of the people around you, that manifests in different ways, doesn't it? It manifests in being a kind, courteous, polite, but that's all just basic stuff. That's all real easy. You know, being respectful, being kind, but lastly, being compassionate. You know, be concerned only with ourselves and only what's going on with us and not be considerate of other people, not be compassionate of other people, people are going to die and go to hell that otherwise would not have gone. You know, and that's an important point to think about because even amongst Baptists, there's this stupid philosophy that's out there that if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved. I remember being told that. Being told, having a Baptist preacher tell me that. Well, if God really wants them saved, they'll get saved. Well, here's the thing. God wants everyone to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish. So why isn't everybody getting saved then? Oh, I see. So some people, God doesn't want to get saved because not everyone's getting saved. I mean, people say things, and I don't think they think about what they're saying. Well, if God wants them saved, they'll get saved. So everyone's getting saved then because God wants everyone to get saved. I mean, that's not that hard a logic to follow, is it? But, you know, it's a lazy excuse to just say, well, if God wants them to get saved, you know, it'll just happen with or without us. No, it won't. You know, we are in Christ's stead. You know, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we're there to beseech people to be reconciled to God. You know, he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our responsibility. And if we drop the ball, you know, people aren't going to get saved. Look, if you just live in your own world and you don't have compassion, I mean, maybe you're courteous, maybe you're a kind person, but if you don't have compassion and you don't want to get people saved, there are people that would have gotten saved that are going to go to hell. It's a fact. You know, because I can't get everybody. You can't get everybody. In fact, there might be somebody that, you know, would respond to you, that would be more open to listening to you, that would be more willing to give you the time of day than me. And the more you get to know me, it's easy to see why. Right? I mean, just look at me. You know, but honestly, though, people, what you might have, there might be just something about you, just something about how you carry yourself, your face, your conduct. I don't know what it is, but it might cause somebody else to just kind of let their guard down, and they'll be willing to listen to you. And I believe this, that God knows how to get people together. God knows how to engineer circumstances. God knows if so-and-so is going to, he says, hey, if so-and-so is going to show up and go soul winning, and they're going to this neighborhood, I'm just going to make sure that this person is there. I mean, you don't think God can do that? And at least give people the opportunity to get saved? God can do that, but not if we don't go. And not if, you know, and we're not going to go if we don't have the compassion for the unsaved. Not a desire to, you know, just make sure we're checking off soul winning for the list, but actually doing it out of a sincere place of compassion. You know, Jesus obviously was the greatest example of that, you know, and it's only by his grace that we're saved. You know, Jesus had compassion on every single one of us. That's the only reason any one of us is on our way to heaven. And we should extend that to other people. So don't be one of these people that lives in your own world, okay, in all these different ways. You know, make sure when we're coming here, going to church, or wherever we are, that we're being courteous to those around us, that we're being polite, that we're being kind, and that we're being compassionate. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.